We create transformative, resilient new realities, writes Krista Tippett in Becoming Wise, by becoming transformed, resilient people. There's a story in Exodus 3, about Moses. Maybe you remember the story. Moses is in Midian, and he sees a burning bush. Now, some rabbis say that that bush had been out there burning for a long, long time. And many people had seen it. But Moses was the only shepherd who stopped, took off his shoes, and came up to it and looked and listened. I've always found myself stopping and being stopped in doorways, and then found myself always being able to enter and walk through. I remember hearing the Reverend Jim Brista preach on the Romans 12 text when he was a district superintendent for the old Detroit East District. I was taken by his emphasis on growing in one's faith, in renewing your faith by renewing your mind. Soon I would find myself learning new skills as I began to gather information on food insecurity in the city of Detroit for the American Friends Service Committee. I traveled the city, met with civic and religious leaders, church folks running food pantries, getting food out to those in need. I met with folks at Focus Hope, Welfare Rights, food stamp workers. A whole new world opened up to me. A whole new world that opened up an interfaith world of social justice. And I found myself renewed, and I was somewhere else than where I started. I started doing research and then found myself as a staff person with the Friends Service Committee. And then one Saturday at a conference church and society event in Flint, I found myself in another doorway. I had come as a participant and was in a workshop on LGBT concerns. Now, this is back in 1984. And there I was in this workshop, and the presenter was talking about coming out of the closet. I can't really remember anything more from her presentation on LGBT concerns. But I remember that there I was in a doorway and I needed to come out. And I needed to say I was indeed called to be an ordained minister. And at that point, I began the process of what it meant to go through and go back to school and go to seminary. It was another year of working with Wink and family to get their minds turned around to what this new career would be and what it would mean for them. There I was. There when I least expected it, another doorway, and I went through it. You could say that that's how I got here. I really didn't plan to flunk out of retirement. But here I am, preaching on a Sunday morning, 3 years after I retired. God's calling has a strange way of working in our lives. I'm reading a book by Bart T. Ehrman, a distinguished professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, about the early church, about the church's first 400 years. It's entitled The Triumph of Christianity, How a Forbidden Religion Swept the World. Christianity, you see, at its roots, is a transformational faith. Ehrman calls those first 400 years the single greatest cultural transformation our world has ever seen. It revolutionized art, music, literature, philosophy, ethics, economics, and law. It changed the way people looked at the world, and how they chose to live in it. It was one of those great turnings of the world. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, writes Paul, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what the early church did. In that 12th chapter of Paul's letter to that young church at Rome, you see how Paul lays out prescriptions for how to live a transformed life. He says things later on in that chapter like, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Celebrate your unique strengths. Know yourself. Give expecting nothing in return. Be alive, on fire. Be happy. Pray. He goes on. He says, consider everyone your equal. Associate with folks who have no status. But show respect to everyone. Live at peace with all people. Don't seek revenge. And then in the 20th verse, here comes the kicker. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give them drinks. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil by good. Such an ethos transformed the Roman world. Here was a culture of dominance and power where people were expected to assert their will over those who were weaker. Confronted with an ideology of love and service, everyone would be on the same footing before God. The powerful no more than the weak, the robust no more than the sick and ill. The very idea, notes Ehrman, that society should serve the poor, the sick, and the marginalized became a distinctively Christian idea. So much so that today we just think of it as a common human value. Transformed minds that then went on to bring about, not always when you look back at the historical record, not always successfully, a new way of living in relationship with God and neighbor. Listening for that small, still voice of God in all the hubbub of the world around them. Those early Christians changed the Roman world and subsequently our own. Such is our history. Such is our backstory. And we can, I'm sure, call out the name of saints whose transformed lives helped move us closer to God's purpose and shalom. We can think of Augustine of Hippo, Hildegard of Bingham, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Anna Howard Shaw, Dorothy Day, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Billy Graham. Transform people who transformed. Be transformed is what Paul reminds us and tells us. Now, the word transformed here is from the Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis, that inward and real formation of the essential nature of something. It's inward and works out. I have a good friend, Millie Jenka. She lives up near Boyne Falls at Lake Louise. And every summer, she's out among the milkweed with her grandkids, collecting very tiny little caterpillars from the backsides of those leaves. And over the next weeks, as the caterpillars feed and grow in their little glass jam jars, they make their cocoon. And then comes the mystery. The metamorphosis, the transformation, as they appear as what they were meant to be, a magnificent monarch butterfly. And then she lets them go. It's still the same creature we put in the glass jar weeks ago, but now totally transformed, radically transformed into all that it was meant to be. So where are you in this Lenten faith journey as we listen for the still small voice of God, as we seek to find our true selves? Are you expecting to be transformed this Lenten season? What would radical transformation look like in your life? What voices, what stories that we carry about in our heads do you and I need to set aside or bid farewell to in order to hear that small voice? What doorway are we on the edge of and just need to make that one step to enter in so that we can figure out what God's will is and what is the good and pleasing and authentic thing that God wants for each one of us? Contemporary writer and Franciscan friar Richard Rohr has written that we tend, even with our best of intentions, to conform. We end up seeking some sort of fast food religion without any deep transformation or spiritual growth. We are good until we get to any real issue. We're good until we get to a real issue of ego or control or power or money or pleasure or security. Then, notes Father Rohr, we tend to be pretty much like anybody else. And so we end up with a Christian country that is consumer-oriented, proud, warlike, racist, class-conscious, and addictive as everybody else. Father Rohr doesn't pull any punches. The problem here is that we continue to allow ourselves to be conformed by the patterns of the world, to walk by the burning bushes, to refuse to enter into the doorways. But remember this, God doesn't give up. God continues to speak. The voice of the Spirit, which Jesus calls the Comforter, the Holy Spirit doesn't just shout from mountaintops nearly as often as she does from the parking lots, or from a chair in the den, or a walk in the woods, or from a book of poetry, or maybe listening to fine choral music. Our world is abundant with beauty, courage, and mystery and grace, and God is still speaking. That is the beautiful truth. Transformation is always an option if we but take it. The Spirit whispers to the heart of our heart, "Be still. Be still and know." Paul's prescriptions are still valid. Paul's prescriptions are still countercultural, even in our own day, especially in these days. God is still speaking. Dare we open ourselves to the vulnerability of listening to God's voice? God is still speaking. Bushes are still burning. If we but take the time to take off our shoes and approach them and listen. So let us journey on together in faith. Amen and amen.